back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Brian Cozio joining me as well. All right, Brian, you were kind enough to stick around through the break because I said I wanted to ask you about goaltending. You've seen a lot of it. You've seen a lot of these guys, how they've been handled or not handled over the years. And you saw some inconsistency last year from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who was showing some promise the year before that, but it just didn't really sustain last year. Now the Sabres have, as you referenced, maybe a guy in Devon Levi who could wind up being a really, really fine, excellent NHL goaltender, but they don't feel he's quite ready there. We know he's a little bit younger. How do you see, how would you play maybe, the goaltending situation playing out on the heels of the Sabres also signing Alex Lyon, who, by the way, will be doing a media Zoom call today at 3 p.m.?
So I will say I thought that the plan after last year of Levi spending the entire season essentially in Rochester and him having a very good playoffs up until even the last round against Laval, but the whole team had a tough round there against Laval. I thought that he was going to be up and it was going to be an open competition between him and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Ultimately, because I feel like Levi has the higher ceiling, that you kind of root for him to win the job in the sense that you feel like there could be more potential there to have better greatness and better goaltending play. The Alex Lyon signing on its own, him individually, I like. When you put now all three together, it's an equation that I'm still trying to figure out. If I'm Devon Levi and I see that signing, I'm like, well, what the hell? Like, I did everything you asked. I went down to Rochester. I spent the entire season there. I carried my team at various points throughout the regular season and in the playoffs. And I had statistically, they were, of course, comparing him to Ryan Miller-like numbers, the best AHL goalie numbers since Ryan Miller. Okay, so what else?
The best college goalie numbers ever, basically.
Right. So what else do you need me to show at the AHL level? You know, this is from the Devon Levi perspective, to the point where I think he deserves a chance to see if he can be the number one goalie with the Sabres this year. And I thought that was going to be a very, very interesting storyline going into this year's Sabres training camp and preseason. Can Levi rise up and be the guy? Luukkonen last year, very, very just, to me, okay. I wouldn't say that there was anything there that was glaring that he was bad with, but there definitely was some inconsistencies. He had some of these moments where he looked back like the Luukkonen we saw when he first took over as the starter, where he was out of position or maybe overcommitting to shots. Not that in-control Luukkonen that we saw really, really good for a few months at the end of two seasons ago when he kind of was putting up Vezina-like numbers. So I think we've seen three really, really high-level months out of Luukkonen, and then the rest to me has been just okay. If you said Lukanen's the starting goalie for the Sabres here for the bulk of the games, I don't think it's bad. I think Alex Lyon could provide a really, really nice backup for him, but I'm still kind of trying to see, like, where does Levi fit in all this? And if it means starting in Rochester again, like, are you now again maybe hampering a player in terms of maybe him helping out the NHL team? Now, for his personal development, would him playing in Rochester another year be bad? I don't think so at all. Goalies, as we know, take a little bit longer in terms of their development, but I'm just surprised in the sense that all, again, these moves that Kevin Adams supposedly was going to be made, could there have been an opportunity to trade one of the goalies, whether it's Luukkonen or Levi? I think there would have been. If Luukkonen can be a part of a trade offer, whether that him and Byram together that can land you somebody, I'd be all open for it. If Levi and Lyon were your two goalies this year, I think I'd be okay with that. I think Alex Lyon has proved enough that if you need him to maybe take a bulk of it while Levi is going through the growth of getting more into the NHL, I think that would be okay. But to me, the signing of Lyon, puzzling, and if I'm Devon Levi, I'm not happy about it.
It is a really interesting kind of quandary because, yes, if you're Devon Levi, you want to be on an NHL club, of course. The Sabres, though, have to look at it as, if he's not playing up here, what is the benefit? We need him to play. Yeah, he might be able to help us every fifth game, let's just say, something like that, whatever, how many games he's going to play. But he's also playing all on the regular down in Rochester. That's what we need. That's why it's such an interesting concept. All right, quickly on the Bills, because training camp does open July 23rd. What are you looking forward to on the field, watching? Any particular position battle? Any development of any player through training camp to try and get a handle on?
So I think, I know this might be a repeat answer from last year when you asked me this, but I think I'm very intrigued by receivers because we have another new collection of guys that have been brought in. Josh Palmer is a guy that I thought was kind of a signing that, like if he can stay healthy, he had some really, really good moments with the Chargers and when he was with Justin Herbert, but he was another player that was inconsistent. I'd like to see maybe, you know, Josh Allen makes everybody look great. So can he come in and maybe have a bigger impact than maybe a lot of people are thinking. What is Coleman going to look like coming off of, obviously, what was trending to be a good first year and then the injury and then coming back and like, I want to know what's his year two going to look like. So I'm kind of intrigued to see what this whole the depth looks like with the receiver position. Obviously, there's been some other signings there too, but ultimately, how many do they – was it normally – is it six that they normally keep, Sal? Is that the number that you
– Five receivers generally. It might be a sixth if they can, if it's really because of a certain specific special teams role they want them for.
Right, and that obviously was maybe a piece of what Mac Hollins was last year. Now we know he's gone. So do you have another receiver that can maybe fulfill a role – that's vital on special teams, that it is worth keeping a sixth if you're going to. So I think that position for me, I'm going to be looking at quite a bit. Obviously, the running back thing has gotten a lot of talk lately with James Cook. I wonder, with the cap going up, can you project possibly something to give Cook his money that looks maybe impressive, but ultimately has less of an impact on the cap that we ultimately think maybe.
I mean, one of those deals where the agent puts the number out because it sounds really good and it looks really good when you look at it, but he's not really getting all that money.
Right. Percentage-wise, I mean, what? Ultimately, again, let's just use math here. How much do you want the running back position to take up?
That's right.
Right. And as the cap goes up, that to me, because we're, you know, to see a running back make double-digit million, like if it's 10, you're going to be like, whoa. And maybe, you know, that's a lot. And Brandon Bean really hasn't paid a running back in his tenure as general manager big money. So it would go against the trend of him doing that. And it seems as though they have this cycle of, okay, then we're going to draft a rookie, Ray Davis. He seems to be ready. You know, could he ultimately, could you envision Ray Davis turning into be the number one running back next year? I could, for sure. And I think he can handle it. But then that means maybe next year they would draft another running back in round two or three, and the cycle continues over and over. And if that's what Brandon Bean ultimately thinks is great for the Bills, and that, look, salary structure wise, we value it at other positions, then I think that's fine. I just think Cook is such a likable player. I think he's so versatile. I think the fact that he's been able to do so many good things out of the backfield too, receiving wise, where he can be a weapon, I still think he's even underutilized in that area. I'd like to see him even used more as a receiving back. It's tough to let a guy go that you know has produced so well. And statistically, it's hard also, too, sometimes to separate fantasy football numbers from. He scored a lot of touchdowns last year, but he could have even had more because, you know, Allen takes some of those away, too, down on the goal line. So, like, what value do you put on statistics in today's NFL with running backs? And because he's not on the field every play like it was back in the day, or some of these other running backs that still do play every down or mostly every down, like Barkley, like, do you really want to commit that much? Ultimately, in the end, you know, my rooting interest for watching James Cook and wanting him to do well, and I think he's a likable, rootable player for. In the end, if Brandon Bean said, look, I'm going to do the same thing again. We're going to move on from James Cook and Ray Davis. We're going to elevate, and we're going to draft another guy in the second or third round. We're going to do it again and again and again because we value the money elsewhere. Well, it'd be hard to argue against that plan because there's never a matchup or there's never a game where ultimately I say, man, I wish we had more out of the running backs today.
Yeah.
Like that to me at the end of the day is, are you winning or losing football games because you feel like you didn't get enough out of the running back position? We've debated forever about receiver with this. We've debated forever about the pass rushers with this, with edge players. We've debated about the secondary with their depth and injuries that get involved. How often have we really sat here and had conversations on our station or with callers or with people on social media saying, hey, we didn't get enough out of the running backs today? And in the end, I have to take the right side of my brain, the emotions out of it, that really likes James Cook and would love to see him here long term, and say, I don't ever remember talking ever with anybody after the game about, we didn't get enough out of the running backs today.
Yeah, and look, they have their entire offensive line coming back, a good offensive line. Not only the starters, every one of their backups is coming back. I mean, this is a group that guys they have, I think, can perform pretty well. And even if it's Ray Davis, Ty Johnson, I think that can happen. All right. Who are the two starting cornerbacks week one against the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, Benford for sure.
Of course.
The other one. McDermott's track record would say Trey White. I love Trey White. One of my favorite Bills ever to watch. He's lost a step. Now, could he come in and maybe make us up close in person, make him look a little bit better? Sure. You watch him on with his other teams, and it looks like he shouldn't be the starter. And it doesn't mean that he shouldn't be on the team and that he's not valuable to the team. There are many facets and reasons why he would be an amazing, you know, cornerback three on this team. You spent the first-round draft pick on Hairston. The last time the Bills spent money on a first-round draft pick on a quarter didn't work out so well, we know. But knowing what I know about McDermott and how he handles things, if you said I have to, like, put money on it, it's White.
I agree. I think Tre'Davious White as well. But with a lot of space maybe for Max Hairston to eventually become that guy. We'll see. That'll be one of the training camp battles. All right, I'm expecting 72 today. You and I are playing together. Should be fun. I'm just kidding. Yeah, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it, especially sticking around for a little while. In fact, we hope you stick around through this break, because when we come back, we're going to wrap up your Tuesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show live from Niagara Falls Country Club.